Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey everybody, welcome to another version of Bill Rodenau Sports. We're here, not so much at an undisclosed location. We're here on Martha's Vineyard. We told you in our last broadcast, we threatened that we would be up here being bourgeois and all that. So here we are on Martha's Vineyard in the Oak Bluffs Library. And actually Jamal is here too. We're actually in the same space. Same library, different rooms. Jamal, what's up?
What's up, Bill? What's going on? Good to see you here on Martha's Vineyard. I'm glad you, you know, we talked about how you would make it down here last week, and it seems like everything went well. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, knock on wood. Got to Woods Hole okay, stayed overnight. First time I'd ever done that. Stayed in Woods Hole, so I would have to, like, drive 5 hours to catch the ferry. At midnight. Yeah, enough of those first world problems. So we're here with our special guest, great friend, author, great journalist. We've known each other for decades, the great David Steele. And he wrote a book, you know, actually he was on the show maybe about a month or so ago, right? A month and a half ago.
Yeah.
His book is It Was Always a Choice, Picking Up the Baton of Athlete Activism. David Steele, what's happening?
First of all, I can't believe we had the great fortune to be in the same place at the same time. You promised you would be there when I put the word out about our little get to get a little book event up here on Martha's Vineyard. You said, hey, I'll be here. And here you are.
You thought I was just saying something.
I thought you were just being nice, being given that good virtual support. And I appreciated all of it. And here you are in your physical form. And we're here in this beautiful library as well. And on your podcast. So I really appreciate that.
Glad
to be here.
Yeah. So I think, like I said, we had you on the show. Well, anyway, you were here because you were at Cousin Rose's doing a nice book signing at Cousin Rose's, the historic and legendary art gallery in Oak Bluffs and Martha's Vineyard. And it was a very nice event. Saw a lot of friends there, Michelle Grajanois, who I worked with at the Baltimore Sun. And I met her two sisters who I did not know. And one of her sisters is you've hired as your publicity person, right?
Correct. Yeah, she's my publicist. She's done tremendous work. She set everything up here at Cousin Rose's. And she is married to my second cousin as well. So we're all family. And I'm incredibly lucky to be able to keep something like this in the family. And also incredibly lucky to have somebody as great as she is and as smart and connected as she is to be able to be up at this. Because as you were talking about coming up here and experiencing this, you know, would never have done it without, you know, knowing my cousin David and Joan and making this possible. So this has been really a fantastic experience all around.
Right. And you flew here.
I did.
A cagey veteran.
I've heard many fairy stories about this. And one of these days I'll probably do it.
Right. It's not Peter Pan. But it's fine. I know we got here because you're catching your flight back to the city. But how's it been? What's been the since we had you on maybe a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, how's it been going? How's the response to the book? I think you've been noticed for some awards and all that. So how things have been going?
Yeah, it's gotten a very positive response, and it's been really gratifying. It's actually been out for about a year. It came out summer of 2022. The people who have seen it, you know, we've done a lot of work to make sure the word gets out about it. Just because the timing of it is what it is, and just the times that we're in make it a really sort of compelling story. And as more people have gotten to know about it, you know, I've sort of gotten more attention. I was at the NABJ convention a couple of weeks ago in Birmingham, and part of the Author Showcase, which was a tremendous experience for me. To be in that in the same category in that atmosphere with everybody else that was there. Jamel Hill was there. So a lot of the other really outstanding authors, and you do the one-on-one interviews with David Aldridge, our old friend. So it goes back a long, long time. He's the one who conducted the conversation with me. So that was really something, and got a certificate out of it. You know, I'm one of the NABJ's outstanding authors of 2023. And people really grab onto the story, and the conversation that surrounds it every time that I get a chance to talk about it is really engaging. And it happened again at Cousin Rose's. Yeah. The people who came up and talked about, you know, their perception of the book and their interactions with the sort of stories and thoughts and themes and plots of the book were really pretty captivating enough that's like, well, I could make a second book just based on what you all are saying about it and how you've experienced it over there.
Yeah, so that's always curious. So what would the sequel be? I mean, one of the things we didn't get into it then, but part of my sense is that the movement is almost dead when you compare to, you know, at the height of it, 2020, kneeling and all that, and brothers yesterday about Jenkins. Okay, yes. To me, I almost trace the quote unquote death, and you could push back on accepted
something like the 30-35
from the owners, and the next day basically said we're done kneeling because of whatever. And I kind of almost trace that. I say dead because I'm like looking at it. Ain't nobody kneeling, ain't nobody raising their fist. Everybody seems happy, you know, and your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think we would have to really search really hard to find traces of where people picked up what was going on, you know, about 3 years ago, and carried it down the line and kept it going. Because a lot of people really just kind of let it go. They were, what you described. I mean, I don't know if saying they were bought out is too strong. I mean, I think it's we're pretty much in that ballpark.
It's kind of really. in the cathedral.
you can't exactly rule it out. Right. Yeah, right. And that was part of, I mean, as I was, you know, as I was writing it and as we're getting closer to the publication and some time was passing since that summer of 2020, you know, the thought process was, you know, well, is this really going to continue? What are the forces that are affecting it now and, you know, either pushing it forward or putting a stop to it. And that was really one of them, the fact that the players really kind of gave in. You know, they said, well, we have a lot of, you know, causes that we want to, you know, handle, but, you know, are we going to trade off the really meaningful actions that a lot of athletes are taking? The Colin Kaepernicks and all the people over those couple of years were doing the things that they're kneeling and raising their fists and saying, we're going to boycott this, we're going to strike against that. You know, we're going to really use our voices, use our platform, use the power that we now know. We've shown everybody we have this power. You know, how are we going to use it? And they kind of decided, well, we're just going to do a little of this, a little of that. We'll bring in Jay-Z. We'll have a nice halftime show. And
speaking of Jay-Z, right? That was another one. Right?
Yep.
That was.
Yeah.
I think that may have been the precursor to thing, right? When Jay-Z said, "We're done with kneeling." Then he became the czar of the black halftime show. He became the curator, the gatekeeper.
All right, now I'm here, y'all can now, yeah. which is really wild because for a couple of years, we Kaepernick had really sort of gotten the movement going, there were a number of performers who were refusing to perform for anything NFL, for the halftime show, for the Super Bowl, all those things. And that was a meaningful thing for them. That was like a statement. That was like, you know, who were you if you weren't turning down the NFL?
Exactly, because chic, radical chic.
Yeah. My question
is along those lines, you know, was anything accomplished?
180 now. It's like that. Yeah, that's the question. I mean, where are we now?
Right.
I mean, we literally are recording this the day after Trump got indicted, and you know, there's this whole, you know, we saw what he did, what he instigated, what people are doing on his behalf. If these are things that all those athletes supposedly were fighting for a few years ago, and you know, where are they now? This, you know, if there was ever a time that their voices were really needed, you know, this would be it. I mean, again, I know we all sort of end up circling back to 1968 and those times, you know, and everything that was going on, and how people put themselves really truly on the line, you know, not just their careers but their lives on the line for these kind of causes. You know, you ask yourself, okay, is that what's still necessary? And you sort of come to the conclusion, well, it kind of feels like it is.
Right.
And then you say, well, who's out there doing it?
Right.
Nobody really is.
Yeah, and I guess that's the there's so many questions, because I was really thinking, where are we now? And I guess I was having this conversation with an editor the other day at Anscape Vet, thinking about you some way in that. You know, and I don't know, maybe I've been thinking about this more since the New York Times, what I used to know as the New York Times sports department was basically outsourced for the Athletic. I was thinking about everything from how we cover sports, you know, I mean, how we cover sports in 2023, you know, your columnists, is it really that important? And I guess my question, maybe the more tangible question is, going up into this new election cycle, how do we integrate sports into what's going to be a dynamic political discussion? Because, you know, a lot of times, time like this, we're over here. We kind of sit on the sideline. But I'm wondering, how do we integrate sports and the stuff that you wrote about back into the general conversation?
Yeah, it's really fascinating because, you know, on the one hand, we do have the athletes who were sort of looking at, like, okay, when are you all going to use your voice? But that would obviously, if they do start speaking and acting and you know, taking the initiative, you know, we would obviously have an obligation to cover it. At least it would seem that way.
Right.
But that's what that's what our job would be as journalists. But at the same time, who would those journalists be that would do that? And you mentioned the Times. It's like, you know, you were a columnist, all those columnists that were there.
Kurt Streeter.
Kurt Streeter, who's there now. It's like,
he's not.
Well, he ain't there. You're right.
He's doing every national stuff. So, right.
He would be one of those voices. Are there those type of voices at the Athletic? They're not set up that way.
Yeah.
Do they have real columnists who would do the things that you did, what I did, what, you know, some of the people that we've known all our lives? You know, who are those voices? Are they going to be the ones to speak out? We see all things going on. Do you see many outlets, publications, newspapers, whatever, however you would characterize any of them, are any of them stepping out and taking the initiative and saying, you know, here's what's going on. What are y'all going to do about it? Who's going to speak out about it? Who's going to use this platform? I mean, just the way the whole landscape has become, including Anscape, you know, they've got a big platform too. They got maybe the biggest megaphone of ever. You know, are they going to step into that void and do that? You know, I don't know how to answer that question. I just sort of know what I see out there, and it's, you know, outside of literally a handful of people, there aren't any people.
So what are the issues? I mean, I guess we could argue that, but if you are an athlete in 2023. You know, when George Floyd gets murdered and all that, you know, I mean, that's very concrete and tangible. So what are the hot button issues now, if you're going to become involved in the political discourse? What are the issues? And I guess that's the challenge.
You know, what was interesting about 2020, and it's so many things came to the surface in the wake of that. Everyone was, everyone was told, okay, we got to rethink everything.
Right.
We have to, we can't go back to normal. We can't, right. We have to create a new normal.
Right.
And so that's, a lot of these athletes, a lot of these sports in general, and they drag their sports and their bosses and their owners and the leagues along with them, like voters, voter registration,
right.
Voter
right.
suppression issues,
right.
Jumping on board and, supporting what Stacey Abrams was doing. Right. The WNBA, just kicking, the owner out to the street.
Yeah, right.
And then, kicking her out of the Senate and then replacing her with Raphael Warnock. That was incredible activism by athletes, and a lot of them had to sort of drag their fellow athletes into it. The things the Bucks did, said, okay, we're going to change right. this, and change that. And it's funny you mentioned that Malcolm Jenkins and the Player Coalition. They were sort of on the, on that edge as well, until they kind of just said, well, we want to just make sure police get enough, training or whatever it is. They
right.
decided they training. Liked exactly. but I mean. These are sort of things I think they have to understand what, how they collectively connect with everybody else.
Right.
I mean, again, to sort of go back to the old days, it's like, look, everybody was like struggling with housing and jobs and discrimination and police brutality and things like that. And so all the athletes could connect with that and right. say, yeah, we're speaking on your behalf.
Right.
Like,
right.
Can they do that now? It's like, yeah, they can. Will they?
Right. Is there a galvanizing thing? Go ahead.
Right.
And we have another election coming up right now. You guys mentioned that. I mean, obviously that's a big thing. It's crazy that it's right here already. It feels like just yesterday where, we had to deal with that, and we have the same exact situation coming around again. And that was a lot of, LeBron James spearheaded a lot of that in terms of the voting. I wonder if NFL players, would ever get on board with that. One other thing with the NFL, and you're trying to figure out, what issues they're trying to tackle now, or if any of this is ongoing from a couple of years ago. But an interesting issue from, over the summer was this whole guaranteed contract deal with Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. I know that's, it's a sports issue, but, all these guys are, they're black guys carrying the sport and trying to secure the bag as right. they say. So, I wonder if, and it seemed like, people backed off of that. Like, Lamar Jackson didn't win that battle. You don't really hear people talking about that anymore. Can you see that issue as an issue that should be, taken a little more seriously?
That was interesting, because that was one that got a lot of people who are not, diehard Ravens fans, right. say, really rallying behind him and sort of grasping how broad the concept was. It's like, how do you go out there and get what you deserve? How do you right. not let this sport mistreat and exploit you? Right. How do we not, send these men into this battle and not, compensate them the way they should? But yeah, as soon as he got his contract, and this is nothing against him or even the players directly around him, it died immediately. Everyone just dropped it.
Right, immediately, yeah.
Yeah. Now, one thing I think would be interesting, and I always sort of, this always sort of bubbles up after I sort of get going a little bit, talking about who would do it now. The college athletes are probably going to be the ones when you think about it, because there's just a myriad of issues that they're facing right now, from all the NIL stuff, from whether they're classified as employees, whether they're ever going to get compensated at all with all this TV money being thrown, and especially, schools are leaping conferences for billions of dollars at a time. Right. They're like hazing kids at a bunch of places. We heard about Northwestern, but they're not the only ones. Exactly how exploited are we going to allow these colleges? How much exploit are we going to let them get away with? That
right.
kind of thing.
Right.
And
right.
are they going to, speak up? And that's strictly on behalf of themselves as college athletes.
Right.
And
as general students. Cause. Just
right.
Personal
yeah.
interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that. Now, even on a broader scale, there's been little talk here and there about, hey, maybe these, as we see these states put in these, laws where they're, banning Black history, being right. abusive to women, being abusive right. to trans students and people, do you stop sending these kids to University of Florida, Florida State,
right.
LSU,
right.
University of Arkansas. I mean, if the governor could sit up there and make a speech about how, you know, Black history is a lie and we're not going to teach indoctrination and, you know, it's a communist plot and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then you say, well, you know, that, okay, well, we've heard your side, but now we're not going to send in players to play basketball and football for University of Arkansas. What do you think of that? The next thing, like 2025 or so, they got an all-white team.
And the fact is, some people, you know, would be very cool with that.
They, right?
I think they're
a real throwback.
Not in the win-loss column. Not in the win-loss column. They wouldn't be drafted.
Yeah. But if everybody's playing with Etzels, you know, we'll all play with Etzels. We just don't want you playing with a Ferrari, and we're playing with Etzels. But if everybody's playing with it, we go back to like 1966. You know, because I mean, I think a lot of times people, and this kind of goes into the whole thing of the history of the movement. You know, some people think that people really like this. That is, they like the fact that the NFL is like 70% of the players are Black, or the NBA, you know, 80% of the players are Black, and big time college football that is predominantly Black. But a lot of people do not like that. They tolerate it because they just have like Ole Miss and Alabama. We don't like you, but we like Ole Miss and Alabama. You know, so I guess it all gets back to me asking you, what the fuck are we? Just one last question, because we got to let David get to the airport. Where are you going from here, and what's the next book?
I wish I had an answer for that. But, you know, getting a chance to go around and get to meet everybody and talk about the book and everything, it does make you think that whatever I do next will really be like sort of a continuation or an extension of this, to really examine literally the questions that we're talking about. It's like really what's going on right now, you know. You know, and I've sort of laid out sort of the historical threads and where the connections came from and things like that. You know, it's been, you know, good to sort of lay that out. It's like, okay, now that we've gotten to this point, you know, 3 years after everything was sort of rooted in the book that's out now, but it's all a choice. It's like, where are they? What have they done since then? Who are they? Who should we look to? You know, who is going to be bold enough to stand up? And it's a really crucial element of the book. Who has made a choice?
Right.
Who has made a choice to stay on the sidelines, to protect the status quo, to protect what they have, to hide, so crouch down in the corner, try not to get noticed, and try not to get involved. Which again, that was still a majority of the athletes, you know, throughout history. You know, they didn't want to stand with Jackie Robinson. Right. They didn't want to stand with, you know, Jack Johnson and you know, Tommy and John and all of them. You know, they're like, just, you know, leave me out of it. Do what you need to do. Don't drag me into it.
Let me live my life.
Exactly. You know, whatever, for whatever that's worth. So, you know, that may, you know, who are the ones that are out here who are able to do that, who can do that, probably should do that. You know, why aren't they doing it? So.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, we can't wait for the sequel, you know, for all of our books.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of. Yeah, I
know. At that point, I know. We shut it down. So, look, the book is It Was Always a Choice, Picking Up the Baton of Athlete Activism. The author is a great Dave Steele. Support it, buy it. If you bought it, buy it again, give it as a gift. Dave, it's been a pleasure. It's always great hearing you talk and, you know, catch the plane. All right.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Thanks so much for making time. Thanks for that, as always, man.
So, hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. It's been great. Thanks again to David Steele. It Was Always a Choice, Picking Up the Baton of Athletic Activism. I thought it was going to be picking up the pieces of the revolution.
That's the sequel.
The next, that's the title.
Picking up the pieces. All right, everybody, listen, continue to stay safe. They say there's a rise in the coronavirus, so wear the mask. We're not. But, you know, whenever there's another vaccine, get it and continue to pray. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.